Today's scripture is from Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 15. How then can they call me the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? It is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we are so thankful for the presence of the Holy Spirit among us. And as you started, Lord, just keep going. Take over. Be you the one who speaks to our hearts. Be you the one that empowers us to do things that we don't even think we can do. Because actually, we cannot do it. But through your power, we are capable. And Lord, empower us also to bring hope to this world. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So we are right now in talking about the different ways and the different things that are really powerful of our denomination. And which is our denomination? You remember our name? We are United Methodists. We are United Methodists. And there are great things that happen in through our church and great doctrine and teaching that we learn. We have been learning how we are rooted in this faith. Even from our logo, that cross with the flame. Do you know what the flame means? The Holy Spirit. It means that we want to be a church that is empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we have been learning several different things about it. We learned that we are a denomination and we believe that God empowered us to have a mind and think ideas and think in theology and doctrine. But also we have emotions and those emotions are connected with what we think. And that also provides us to do actions. It is through that reason that we communicate to others the gospel. We talk about grace. The prevenient grace, justifying grace, and also sanctifying grace. How through that we are guided to grow in our faith. We also have learned this beautiful statement that John Wesley said about holiness. I continue to dream and pray about a revival of holiness in our day that moves forward in mission and creates authentic community in which each person can be what? Unleashed. Do you remember that word? Unleashed through the empowerment of the Spirit to fulfill God's creational intentions. Like the dog that is running to enjoy in the beach and just jumping the water, nothing stops him. The same thing, what Wesley says, I wish that all these United Methodists will be those Christians that nothing stopped them to be able to go and serve the Lord. We also learn about how is a connection between what we believe is also something that makes an impact in the mission where we go, and through that we also grow in our faith. And also we learn about how important it is if we want to be risk takers and we are called to take risk as Christians, we can do that when we remember how our lives are centered with a kingdom vision. We belong to God and we are empowered by God. And we also learned last week about connectionalism. This is a powerful word for the United Methodists. We are connected with other Methodist churches around the world. We are connected with each other, but we are connected especially with the truth of the Lord. When we keep that truth as our part of our center of our life, we are able to connect through that power. And today we're learning about one of the concepts of Methodists that probably excites me one the most. What is the mission of the United Methodist Church? They will tell you, the pastors that are here and anyone else who knows it, which is our mission? All right, give me five. The mission of the church of the United Methodist Church is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for what? For the transformation of the world. This is really cool. It means I'm disciple so others can be disciples. And it's very important, the next statement. Local churches provide the most significant arena through which disciple making occurs. So local church. So what is a local church? Is Northern Hills a local church? Yes. So where is it the best place where discipling happens? Here. And even better in this place with Northern Hills. It's really fun to be in this location. So that's an important statement about us. But whenever we think about this statement, we remember that great commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And we have shared this before, guys. This is one of the scriptures that I love the most, but sometimes we don't interpret this correctly. And it's really great when you see it in the right context. If you see the text that we have seen and we have talked about this before is, where does it start? It cannot start in therefore. I mean, therefore requires a concept before that. So it starts in that first section where it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's what Jesus says. He's telling through that wherever Jesus is sending you, he has authority over that place. So wherever you go, God is already present there, creating an environment, showing his spirit, preparing the land so you can come and share the gospel in that place. So in other words, if he has authority of any place, does he have authority in your house? Does he have authority in your job? Does he have authority while you are driving? And the one in front of you is not quite nice, right? Does he have authority in those places? And I'm not just talking about physical places, but authority in those places that perhaps are sometimes difficult for you to confront because they are painful in your story. According to that, he has authority in every place. So whenever we go to one place, and I don't care if that place says, you know, we don't accept any Christian religions in this place. It's very sad, but in Mexico, whenever you go to some houses, they have this little plaque in some houses that it says very specific. If you are not from a specific denomination, if you are called Christian or Muslim or Jehovah's Witness, you are not welcome in this house. There is a plaque, and I have many of my neighbors who actually have that. And I remember the first time Abel went with me and saw it, and he felt offended. And he's like, oh my gosh, they're telling us they don't want us inside. And I'm like, yep, it's very common. But what I want you to remember is, regardless of those plagues, the authority inside of that house is given to you already by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you walk thinking in blessing that location because you have that authority in the name of Jesus. So the schools where we serve as ESL, I tell all my ESL volunteers, raise your hand if you're one of our ESL volunteers. When we go there, right, I tell you, you're going to walk. You walk very well that land and you say, God, I bless this place in the name of Jesus Christ. Because according to the scripture, you have an authority in this place. Now, when we think about, so what is that great commission? What is God asking us to do? We concentrate, any of you grammar teachers, there are imperatives here. Which are the imperatives? Go is one of them, right? And the other one is make disciples. Now, there is one situation in here. In the original Greek, there are no two imperatives in that place. There is just one. You know what's an imperative, right? An order. When you say you're going to do this. But in the original, there is just one. And that is the most important one. And that one is actually not go. Many times we emphasize the go. But the imperative in this is disciple. It's not even make a disciple. It says disciple. And to disciple, then you need to go, you need to baptize, and you need to teach. Let's put an imperative is disciple. Let me give you an example of that. Let's put an imaginary scenario. Let's say there is a child in a house who's 14 years old and has a lot of Legos in his bedroom. Nobody we know, right, Elizabeth? Nobody. And he's bilingual kid. So it happens, this imaginary child, it happens that every now and then he leaves Legos. And any of you who has stepped on a Lego, you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay, amen, parents. So when that happens in that imaginary location, the mother of that place goes and says, clean your room. That's the imperative. By picking up the Legos, by dusting your furniture, by having your bed done in the right way. But the imperative, what is? Clean. The other ones are supporting the action of cleaning. But the main imperative is clean. So the same thing here. Don't worry about the go. You already go, no? You don't live in this place. You are not sitting in that chair all day. After this worship service is done at 10:45, sometimes 10:47, I'm sorry. Don't tell Dudley. After after that, what's going to happen? You're going to go. You can stay if you want to, but at the end of the day, you're going to go. So what Jesus is telling them here is, guys, you're going to go anyway. But wherever you go, what's the emphasis? Disciple. Disciple by baptizing. He didn't say by sharing with people the four spiritual laws and so. He says baptizing. That's very deep. Meaning by that, by bringing people to a full understanding of the beauty of knowing that your life before Christ was broken. But when you come and you're in that baptism and you come out of that water, you are a new creation. And when you share that, you're not sharing that in theory. The idea is that if you are capable to disciple, means that you are also a disciple. You understand what it is to be broken and being restored by the power of God. Amen? And if you are here and you are saying, you know, God, I'm not sure if I'm in the other side. I'm not sure if I really understand what it is to be restored. Don't feel ashamed. You are not the only one feeling like that in this place. But I encourage you today to talk to God and say, God, I want to be one of those disciples. I want to be able to experience the other side, the side where it feels restored, the side where it feels that it's possible to have hope again. So here is telling us, disciple. And who do we disciple? What it says over there? All what? All people that looks hallelujah and speak Spanish and like salsa and eat tacos. Hallelujah. That would be very, no, right? What it says? All nations. And let me tell you, that's another statement that sometimes we get confused because it's very easy to say all nations and we think, oh, I need to travel very far. Yeah, in some cases we need to. We are really happy that this church is going to Liberia. That is great. But also in the original, it's not talking about all nations. It's talking about all ethnic groups. And what does it mean? Just think about this. To who was Jesus saying this statement? What was the nationality of that people? They were Jewish. Now, to tell a Jewish at that time, you're going to need to go and talk to people from other cultures. What will they say? Yay! No, right? They will be like, no comprendo. I don't get it, Jesus. Just think about how difficult it was for them to get that concept. So here we have Jesus saying, you're going to disciple. Wherever you go, wherever you're walking, and if it happens that you're walking and the person next to you is a Greek, what does that say? You disciple, even if you don't like him because he's Greek. And maybe you're going to walk and in this side you're going to find another guy who doesn't look like you. Like, I wish I can play the drums as Paul does. He doesn't look like me. He's pretty cute, but he doesn't look like me. But even though we look different, what is the scripture saying? Disciple. So you see how strong that is? So you are called to wherever you are. We don't pick and choose and say, God, I want to disciple 1, 3, and 7. We pick everybody where we are. And if he's talking about disciple, he's not talking specifically about words. He's talking about your entire actions, the way you behave, and yes, the way you proclaim what God is saying to every ethnic group, to every person that surrounds you. So it's a lot heavier and deeper than we think, but also because God knows we are capable. And this is the part that I like a lot of how the United Methodist Church explains it. Why and how in the world are we capable to do this? The first thing is because of this. Our mission is grace-filled response. In other words, if you're called to disciple, it's a fruit of what God has been doing with you. It's because your love tank of God is full. And it's something I have told you before. When you are in love, somebody, is anyone able to stop you showing your love for the person that you love? No. I mean, when you are in love, you're going to proclaim that to everyone. Have you ever seen a couple getting married, how they look at each other? I wish everybody can see the picture of Pastor Nancy. See any words, but you can. Okay, you are a girl. And Van, in their wedding, You could not see any words, but you can feel the love by that picture. Next time I'm going to show it to you guys. Because it's just beautiful. It's just like, you just can see Van. His eyes are like going like in stars, looking at Nancy, you know. Totally in love. I mean, if Nancy could have told him at that moment, Van, I want you to stand up upside down, he would have done it. Because he's just radiating love, right? Sorry, bro, for picking on you. But that's what happened. It's just love. He's just totally full of that love of God. So the same thing with us. We're grace-filled people. How are we going to be able to disciple? Because we have been receivers of his grace. I love the scripture that we find in John 1:16 that says, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So in other words, guys, what God is telling us is like, open your hands, open your heart, open your vulnerable places, open where you feel broken, open where you are tempted, open in those places where Satan is trying to come and make you feel that you have no value. Open that and let the grace of God fill you. Let his grace transform you. Let his grace take the devil out of your life and bring you back to fullness in God. That's what God tells us. And then when you have that grace, what is going to stop you? You know, there are certain things that I like about Walmart. Not everything. But there are certain things I like. And what I like is this, that they have that saying, how may I help you? And you ask any person in Walmart, and they supposedly, actually the majority of the times it's true, they will know where everything is. I wish as Christians we carry this. How may I bless you? When you're living a life of grace, instead of going with people and trying to just bring from them energy or strength, when you are a person who lives grace by grace, you can have down moments. But you understand that where you are receiving that strength is by God's blessing. And then you want to go outside and say, how can I bless you? How can I connect with you? I wish that as Northern Hills, we would have a t-shirt like that. Northern Hills United Methodist Church, and in the back, how can I bless you? How can I pray for you? I remember one time I was sharing that a few days ago. I went to a church, and I was in a worship service with different denominations. And one of the persons working in there, I remember Pedro was a baby. And I took my baby in that location. And they were going to take all the babies in one room. And when I gave my baby to this lady, the lady told me, I'm going to be the one in charge of ministering to your child. How do you want me to pray for him? I was like, lady, from now on, I'll give you a kidney if you need. I mean, for a mother, you hear what I'm saying? That he's not like, I'm just babysitting. No, I'm going to be the one in charge of ministering to your child. How do you want me to pray for that? It went far in my heart. My child is 13 years old. I wish at that point I could say, he needs to learn to clean his Legos. But I didn't know. but the thing is, you see, how will it be that everywhere where we go, with the ones we can say, you know, how can I pray for you in the situation you're living? And there are times when we cannot say it because of where we're working or so. But what about putting our hand over that child who needs prayer, or over that person who needs prayer, or where you are paying and that person that is the cashier doesn't look that is doing really good, but while you are paying, you're smiling and blessing. That will be very powerful. But we are capable to fulfill that commission and commitment because of the grace of God with us. Now, we do that, and these are three specific things of how our mission is. The first one, our mission is expressed in God's covenant with Abraham and Sarah, in the exodus of Israel from Egypt, and in the ministry of the prophets. In other words, you and I are part of that promise. When the Lord says, they shall be my people, I will be their God. We are part of that promise. Do you see how amazing is that? That when Abraham was receiving the promise of God saying, can you see the sky? Can you count the stars? That's going to be my people. You realize that one of those stars was you? One of them over there was you with your own story and saying, that is going to be one of my people. So remember, this is what we express by God. But then another part of this mission is too. Our mission is fully embodied in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why are we doing this, and who we are is a consequence of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. A few days ago, I heard this statement. I don't remember who said it. But it says, our lives are transformed not by the blessings that God will give us, but what he already gave. So it's not that we are Christians because of what God will do with my life in the future. We are Christians because of what he already did. He already became flesh like you and me. He already showed his ministry and mission. He already told us the way he loves us. He already showed to all of us how do we deal with struggles and problems and pain. And he already carried them at the cross and died on the cross. And after 3 days, we were able to see and proclaim his resurrection. And as Christians, we know that he'll come back again. So whatever we live, whatever struggle we confront, we know, you know, this is just for a little bit. Because what the value of my life comes is what God has been doing in my life. So the next one is, our mission is experience in the ongoing creation of a new people by the Holy Spirit. That's you and me as a church. I love this picture. Do you see what it means? It says, therefore, in the scripture, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. But I want you to see that picture. It's really impressive because if you can see here, it's almost like you can see the devil trying to get to that person. But then you can see how that person is coming in freedom and becoming a new creation. That's our story, isn't it? It's almost like you can say, Lupina, that's your picture. Everyone, that's our picture. That's where we have been. But that's also God's mercy in taking us out of that place. So what we are sharing is not something that is coming from our own words. It's something that we are experiencing as Christians. And as Methodists, we believe that this is the main word that we proclaim to others. So I love the scripture that we read today that says, but how are they to call one in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone to proclaim him? And how are they to proclaim him unless they are sent? How beautiful are the feet that brings good news. You know, originally this scripture is from Isaiah. And this is a scripture that is prophetic and saying where they will go. And these people were going to be in for a while in Babylon, as you remember, on exile. But this was a word that they were hearing, and they were hearing that there will be a moment where all of them, they will come back to their Jerusalem, to the temple, and they will be guided by these beautiful feet to really proclaim the good news of coming back to the place where they belong. That's the same proclamation for you and for me. We have been lost. We have been on exile. People in this world have been on exile. Members of your family right now, they feel that they are on exile. Our community around here, many of them are living a life as an exile. But the call God is giving us is to remind us the power that you and I have in our feet. The power that we have when all of our goals are totally consecrated from the Lord. The power that we have when we just share our own disciple story. So today I want to encourage you, to invite you, but also I want you to take this responsibility that we accept that we make disciples for the Lord of Jesus Christ, but we accept that every goal in our life is now a goal that we bring to God and say, take all my goals and let them be places where I can disciple. Your goals are different than mine. The people that you can touch are are very different than mine. But where you are, God will allow you to put places and people where you will be able to disciple. So what do you want to do with your goals? Will you keep them for you, or will you consecrate them for the Lord? So today, I invite you just to stand up. And where you are, start feeling your feet as the children did. Do you feel them? Mine have now cowboy boots because that's what I'm proclaiming God now. Can you feel your toes? Now, as you feel your feet, can you feel how God is calling you to proclaim His love to the land where you are standing up? And while we are singing this song, tell the Lord, Lord, I consecrate every goal that I have to disciple in this world.